Okay, on the weeknights, I've been trying in some small way to tie in a little bit with the person who's being interviewed and the subject in which they're being interviewed. And I've done that. I've touched on the subjects. But tonight, I thought, well, I'm obviously going to preach on somebody who was religious. And I thought about Nicodemus and so on. And at the end of the day, I went down a completely different angle. And it was only as Seamus was talking to us that I realized how now I am linking in with him. Because tonight, Seamus spoke to us a fair wee bit there about just how simple and straightforward the gospel is. And I'm going to try, with God's help, to make it as simple tonight as I possibly can. We looked last night at the cross at Calvary, and we could go on in there to the incredible depths of what Christ was doing for us there on the cross. But I want to bring it right home to you tonight about where it meets you and just how absolutely straightforward this is. And even the youngest will understand tonight, I trust, by God's help. Let me read, and the reading is ever so simple and straightforward. It's only 3 verses. Mark chapter 1, verses 40, 41, 42. And here it is, just as simple as this. And the hymn in here, of course, is Jesus. So I put his name in. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cured. We thank God for his living word. Let's have a wee word of prayer just before we think of those words that are very, very straightforward, very simple, and yet very profound. So, our God, we thank you for this precious book, your living word. We thank you for how real you are and how very personally you come to deal with us through your word. We simply ask that you would do that this evening as we turn to it now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Just those 3 little verses. I love the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because very directly you're seeing the Lord Jesus Christ meeting ordinary people. And it's brilliant when you go through the Gospels, because you find people that, okay, there are things like leprosy. You say, well, that's not really in our society today. But as you look at the people that Jesus is meeting, you discover that so many of them have exactly the same sort of context that we have. The same sorts of things going on in their lives. Ordinary people, just like us. Real living people, just like the people of Kilkeel. And we see Jesus meeting them. And that's what makes the gospel so amazing, because we're seeing all the majesty of God coming down and touching the lives of just very ordinary people. And so as we do, we see all the thrills and the tragedies of life. We watch Jesus at weddings and we watch him at funerals. We watch him dealing with old people and sick people. We watch him dealing with little children. We see everything. And here we see a man in trouble. Let me just talk to you about him tonight, ever so simply, as I say. This is going to be as straightforward as I can possibly make it. And see his ailment, his illness. 4 words there. The first 4 words in verse 40. And here's what it says. A man with leprosy. Just 4 little words. And yet, what tragedy and heartbreak lies behind those words. We're not told anything else about him. We don't need to know anything else about him. In a sense, everything else about him is irrelevant. Because as soon as you have leprosy in that society, that's it. Cut off. Finished, in a sense. He may have been wealthy. He might have been famous. He might have had a huge family. We're not told any of that. Because in a sense, that doesn't really matter. But we just home in and we discover that here is a man in real tragic circumstances. Here is a man with real heartbreak in his life. A man who perhaps was on top of everything and really going places and enjoying all the joys of life. And not anymore, since his life is over. Luke, indeed, in his record of this incident, Luke was a doctor. God often, as he used Luke to write down the Gospel of Luke, he gave him some extra little insights that Luke recorded for us, and he tells us that he was covered with leprosy. Luke informs us that the disease was well advanced. But it's something about this disease of leprosy which you'll probably be aware to some extent of what it was. It's not in our society here today, but I think probably most of you will have a fair idea about it, because I think there's a powerful parallel with this disease and something else. Leprosy was a spreading disease. Where it showed itself was in the fingertips and the toes, because it led to a numbness that fingertips even tended to get cut and knocked off. Cut off, and the person didn't even know it was happening. And it seemed to be a disease right out there in the fingertips and at the points of the toes. But it wasn't. That was only the evidence out there, right on the surface. This was a disease that got right into the person. This was a disease in the bones, in the flesh, in every part, a disease that spread right through. It was, I suppose, the nearest equivalent they had to what we encounter when we get cancer now. But this was a very serious one. It was a spreading disease, not just out in the fingertips. It was also, very sadly, a separating disease. And this bit you probably will know, that whenever someone was diagnosed with leprosy, unfortunately at that point they were cut off from society. It was very, very sad and tragic, because these people had to go and live in colonies with other people who had leprosy. Imagine that. Imagine the heartbreak today of going to the doctor and discovering you have a serious disease and being told, as from this moment, you've got to leave home. You've got to leave your family. You can't go near them. You can't touch them. From here on, you can only be with people who have the same disease. Strangers. An alienating disease. A separating disease. Indeed, sadly, at times they carried a bell with them and rang the bell and shouted, unclean, unclean. And they were required to do that, so as no one would accidentally come into contact with them. They were cut off from society, separated. And whenever someone did want to try to be kind and leave them some food, they had to leave it in a place and run away and have no contact. It was a spreading disease, it was a separating disease, and it was a serious disease, because ultimately they died. Ultimately, it led to death. And there's a very powerful parallel here. I believe there's a very powerful parable in the disease of leprosy. A parallel with the disease of sin. I want you to think about that. Because these three factors are absolutely critical about sin. Sin is a spreading disease. Because often we think that sin is something in the tips of the fingers, the tip of the tongue. We think it's something out there. It's the things that we do that are not right. And therefore, we make our New Year's resolutions and we get a religion that tries to redress this stuff and to change this stuff and to reform us and to change us into different people on the outside. And it doesn't work. Because sin isn't just out there. Sin is right through us. Sin is an invasive disease. It has got a hold of us. And it has a hold of us before ever we do a sin. Sin is there before we do sin. Some people think that because we do sin, that makes us into sinners. No, we do sin because we are sinners. That sadly is the way we're born. It's not out there on the surface. If you had measles, your child had measles, and you went to the doctor, it doesn't really happen nowadays. They get this inoculation. I think they don't really get measles now. It didn't my day. I had them, and I'm safe enough to come here now and never take them again, hopefully. You could take a child to the doctor, and the doctor says, oh, all these spots, yeah, soon get rid of those, and produces some sandpaper. No. What do you need? Medicine. Right down to the root of the problem. You see how easily and how wrongly and how often people try to deal with sin as if it was out there, when actually it's in here. A spreading disease. It's a separating disease as well. Not that it separates us from society. In fact, sometimes in certain parts of society, it gets us right in there. And it makes us one of the lads when we're doing this stuff. It actually gets us in with people. It doesn't separate us from people particularly. But sin separates us from God. And the scripture is very, very plain about that. Because God is holy, he is pure, he is perfect. Says Habakkuk, isn't it? You are of purer eyes than even to look upon sin. He cannot touch it. It separates us from his presence. God says to Jeremiah, it's not that my ear is deaf that I cannot hear, or my arm is too short to reach you. He says, I'll tell you what the problem is, Jeremiah, for to tell these people that their sin has separated them from God. And that's what it does for all of us. And it's a serious disease. Scripture says the wages of sin is death. The payment for sin, the outcome of sin, the result of sin. And it's not simply speaking, well, it starts there at the death that I had a funeral today. And that's where we do see it very obviously. But that's not particularly what that passage is speaking of when it says that the wages of sin is death. It's speaking of something much more horrendous and serious. It's speaking of eternal death, the death of the soul, the eternal separation from God. It is serious. The wages of sin is death. And so, I want you to step back for a moment to this guy and try to put yourself in his shoes and recognize the tragedy of his situation. That, as I said at the outset, it doesn't really matter what else he had. It doesn't matter if he had three houses. It doesn't matter if he had a big family circle, a great reputation, whatever. The man's life is finished. And then put yourself back in our shoes. Every single one of us. There is no one, there's no exception, says the scripture. Every single one of us. Sinners, that's what our sin's done to us. It's deep down inside there. We can't rub it away, sandpaper it away, do good it away. Separates us from a holy God and ultimately takes us to hell. His ailment, what tragedy. But the second thing I want you to see about this man is his action. What did he do about it? And this is just three words. A man with leprosy came to him, came to Jesus. How absolutely simple. See, I told you it'd be really simple. How absolutely simple. And yet how absolutely perfect. He could have spent his whole life trying all sorts of remedies. Perhaps he did. Perhaps he'd spent all his money trying doctors, trying this, that, or the other. But today, he came to the one person who could heal him. Today, he came to Jesus close enough to be touched. Now, I believe that day he would have had a dilemma. Because, this is jumping forward on me. Let's get there in a moment now. Let me see. That was my fault, I'm sure. His dilemma where he looked at himself and he saw that he had leprosy. And he had heard about this great Jesus that could cure leprosy. He says, I've got to go to Jesus. In my state, I need to go to Jesus. I must come to Jesus. Because I've got leprosy. But then he looked at himself. He looked at his leprosy. And he said, I can't go to Jesus. I'm not allowed to go to anybody. I can't go near Jesus. Do you see the dilemma he had that day? Where the very thing that was driving him to seek Jesus was at the same time telling him, but you can't go to Jesus. Jesus is clean. You see, that same dilemma haunts many people today. Where when they go to a mission, when they hear a Christian talking, when the gospel is set out plainly to them, they look at themselves and they say, yes, I'm a sinner. And they know in their heart, and the Holy Spirit comes and convinces them that, yes, I can't. This isn't something I can rub off on the outside. This isn't something I can deal with myself. This is something for which I must go to Jesus. I need to become a Christian. I need to be born again. I need to go to Jesus. And then a voice says, but you can't go to Jesus. Look at you. So many people in the world today are longing for the time when they can go to Jesus. And are preparing for themselves for the time when they can go to Jesus. And are reforming their lives in order that they might go to Jesus. When all you've got to do is go to Jesus. Can you see how simple? It's not that we become good enough to go to Jesus. Rather, we can only come just as we are. And he's the one that makes us good enough. Just need to go to Jesus. His ailment, his action, but I want you to see also his attitude as he came to Jesus. Here we go. We're jumping around tonight. Sorry about this. Coming now. Yeah. His attitude as he came to Jesus. Listen to this. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And I want to say to you very simply that he came humbly. He begged him on his knees. Indeed, Luke tells us he fell on his face before Jesus. He came humbly, recognizing he had no worthiness to come before this great Savior. He came hopefully. I love this. I love this. When you read this carefully, it doesn't say a man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, can you make me clean? No, listen. It says a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He said, I know he can change my life today. This absolute confidence. And he also came in a hurry. He came humbly, he came hopefully, he came in a hurry because he came and begged him on his knees, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And I'm simply saying to you tonight that if you're going to come to Jesus, you must come humbly. And you know, this is a great big problem for so many people. I remember many years ago in the congregation in which I grew up, I was quite young at the time. We had a new minister who came, and he made the gospel very, very plain, very, very faithful to the truth. And there were some people who had considered themselves to be Christians all along and came to realize very clearly under the power of the Holy Spirit that they actually did not yet know Christ as their Savior. And some, for instance, who were already communicant members of the church, just stopped attending communion, not out of any anger, but just they realized that that was not the place for them to be at that time. But I remember one lady in particular who sometime later said, you know, when I heard the gospel, I was so sure that I shouldn't really be at the Lord's table, that I didn't know the Lord. But she said, after a while, I looked around and I decided, well, I'm as good as some of the ones that are going. So I just started going back. Humility is very difficult. Humility is not built into any of us. And this is one, while the gospel is so simple, while it is so simple to go to Jesus, yet the great problem is, as we said the other night, I forget which night it was. There was the night we dealt with the prodigal son. Where the great problem is that when you turn round, when you do the about turn and you say, I've got to go back, you're saying I was wrong. And that's the great problem. And there's somebody here tonight and that's your great problem. With all your heart you know that you need to come to Jesus. And you want to. But you can't because you're too proud. Too proud to admit that all these years you've been wrong. And whenever, Seamus, tonight you talked about the reaction to the gospel, some received it gladly, some received it badly, some received it madly, and I thought, and some people receive it sadly. Like the guy, you remember, who had all the riches, and he, with all his heart, wanted Jesus. But he wanted something else that was bigger in his life. And he turned away and he went away sad. If you're coming to Jesus, you've got to come humbly. You've got to recognize tonight that you're a sinner. You've got to recognize that your sin is serious. That your sin has separated you from a holy God. That your sin is repulsive in the sight of God. And sometimes, when we watch the news and when we read the newspapers, it almost has completely the wrong effect on us because we see those horrific things. And we say, well, at least I don't do that. Are you there tonight? And you're saying, deep in your heart of hearts, I need this Savior. But then you're saying, but no, maybe I don't. You've got to come humbly, you've got to come hopefully. This guy said, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. I want to assure you tonight, from what we were looking at last night there at the cross in Calvary, that Jesus has done all that you need. You have nothing to add. As Seamus was saying, that was one of the great problems for so many of our lives. That we felt that, yes, the gospel's there, but there's something we've got to add into the gospel. There's not. He has done everything that we need. And no matter who we are, no matter what we've been through, no matter what we've done, tonight, Jesus Christ is all sufficient. And we need not come thinking, well, he saved that one, he saved that one, he saved that one, but I don't think he could save me. Because he's all sufficient. And this guy, who wasn't one of the ones with the wee problems in the crowd, but the one with the big problem that was cut off from all of society, whose life was ruined, whose life was a mess, who was in tragedy, he came and he says, I know he can do this for me. And I assure you tonight, he can do this for you. Recognize the power of Calvary tonight, and you must come in a hurry. Time is running out. Time is very short, folks. None of us know. I talked to you one night, and maybe some of you weren't here, but I talked to you about the reasons for not delaying coming to Christ. And in a nutshell, here they are. Number one, you could die in a moment. And some of us will, without any warning. We'll just be gone like that. Whether through a heart attack or through a road accident or whatever it is. But we will have no warning. Therefore, if you need to come to Christ, do not delay that. The second reason is that fearsome one, that if you keep saying no to Jesus Christ, it seems to me as a pastor dealing with people that there seems to be some sort of a shutter can come down. And somebody who's told you've 6 months to live, then having said no to Jesus so often, there just seems to be no possibility of saying yes anymore. That's fearsome. And of course, the biggest reason of all, that if you say, well, I'm going to live my life now, and hopefully before I die, I'm going to come to Jesus Christ. You're saying, well, I'm going to live my life for myself. And Jesus, whenever I'm about to die, you can have me then, and please take me to heaven. Insult. So, you need to come to Jesus. You're recognizing tonight you need to come to Jesus. You've recognized maybe for a long time you need to come to Jesus. And tonight I say, and maybe you've said it and you've known it and you've thought it and you've heard it said, but tonight I said directly to you, you need to come to Jesus. As simple as that. Recognizing your desperate need. Recognizing tonight he is able. And recognizing that time is short. And you need to get there quick. And the last thing I want to say to you about this man tonight is his answer. The answer that he got. A man with leprosy, verse 40, came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Filled with compassion. Here's the answer. Filled with compassion. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. You see the first thing it says there? It says, as soon as he asked the question, it says, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out. Jesus cared. I say to you tonight, dear friend, Jesus cares for more, for you more than you can imagine. Jesus cared. Now that's a very important word there, dealing with a leper, somebody with leprosy. Nobody touched them. And Mark wants to emphasize to us that this happened. Because he doesn't just say, Jesus touched the man. But he says, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Now, there's no need for that, but reaching out his hand, because if he was going to touch him, he had to reach out his hand. But the scripture wants to emphasize for us that Jesus took this mighty step, reached out to the man that no one would touch, and put his hand on him. He touched him, and he healed him. Instantly, immediately, it says, the leprosy left him, and he was cured. And I simply want to say to you as we finish tonight that Jesus cares for you. Filled with compassion. And sometimes, maybe under the preaching of the word, you don't think of it like that. Because sometimes and often before we're converted, we think the preacher's getting at us. We think the preacher's having a go at us. And sometimes even we think somebody's having a go at us through this Bible. I want to say to you tonight that Jesus Christ cares for you more than you can possibly imagine. A million times more than you can possibly imagine. He cares for you. He knows you through and through. He cares deeply for you tonight. He cares for you. He touches. And this is the incredible thing, the thing that I've been preaching for 30 plus years now. And still it amazes me. And still it's a mystery. that a whole congregation sits and listens. But for somebody, it becomes very personal. It's as if Jesus just reaches out and puts his hand on his shoulder. It's as personal as that. And maybe tonight you're knowing that. Maybe tonight you're saying, that's me. That is me. This is real. This is personal. This is me. I tell you that the one who's reaching you tonight is the one who can absolutely cure you. Who can make you, as the scripture says, whiter than the snow. It's lovely, and this is the last screen actually, so as you know, we're finished. It's an old hymn. It says, I know a fount where sins are washed away. I know a place where night is turned to day. Burdens are lifted. Blind eyes made to see. There's a wonder-working power in the blood of Calvary. How urgently you who are unsaved need this great Savior tonight. You're here and there's great burdens. There's a great blindness. There's a great darkness. There's a great dirtiness in the eyes of God. But there's a place tonight to be washed, to be lifted, to be set free. There's a wonder-working power in the blood of Calvary. This great Savior is here tonight. He's the one who does the calling. I don't put pressure on anybody because he will come and he will speak with you. I came out tonight, yes, to see you there. I came out tonight in a bit, wee bit of a hurry, and I brought no Journey into Life books with me, but Stephen slipped over home and got some. So I'll have some in my hand. What I'll do tonight, because I said it's bad, I'm on one door and the books are on the other, we'll leave them on the wee table. Journey into Life book, it's blue and green and white. Journey into Life, it says in the front. You pick one up, they're free. And if you know that the Lord has been speaking to you and you need to trust the Savior, take one of those wee books with you. And if during the course of this week or last week already, or maybe over a period of some time ago, you have come to trust the Savior but never told anybody, you need to do that. And do that. Make sure you do. Go to Stephen or to Seamus or myself and tell us that. But if you need any help, as Seamus said earlier, if you want any questions answered, it's dead straightforward in a way. But as Seamus was saying, there are questions that you might have sticking points with. And do feel free to ask us if we can help you in any way. But folks, don't make it more complicated than it is. We're sinners. We're lost. We're bound for hell. And God sent his Son to Calvary to do all that we need. He's done it. And all we need to do is go to Jesus. Let's pray. So our God, we thank you tonight for this wonderful Savior. We thank you for Jesus, for all that he's done, for all that he is, for how all-sufficient he is, for how many people he has saved and who have discovered the all-sufficiency of Jesus. And we thank you tonight is still the night of opportunity. The Savior is still calling. The door is still open. The Lord Jesus is still knocking. And Lord, we pray that you would give grace to us tonight, if we've not yet come to know him, to reach out and take him as our own Savior, to come to Jesus this very night. For we pray in his precious name. Amen.